Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, that's the days we live in now, perilous times. That means difficult times, furious times, shall come. Perilous times shall come in the last days. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Then he goes into detail. For men shall be, this is the first thing he mentions, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, he goes through a whole list of the apostate characteristics of sinful men who claim and even have a form of godliness. But yet, that's all they have is a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They deny the reign of Christ, verse 5 says. That's what that means. They deny Christ, the authority that's interchangeable with power. And they deny the power of God to change their lives. Another way to look at it. We're warned in Jude 4 to mark those false teachers who corrupt the grace of God and turn it into a lasciviousness or a license for sin, denying the power of God to bring about the will of God, as we see written in the Word of God, is a sin, and it's coming out of an evil heart of unbelief, Hebrews 3:12. The Bible tells us as New Testament Christians, having therefore these promises dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Most leaders never use the word repent or repentance. When that was the first word that came out of Jesus' mouth, John the Baptist's mouth, Peter's mouth, that is the apostolic doctrine. We are to be continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which is the doctrines of the gospel given by Christ to his apostles and then given to us by them. So men, these perilous times, there will be men that are what? Lovers of their own selves. I just couldn't help but jump to verse 5, because these aren't the lost. These are people that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God to change their lives and to bring about the character of Christ. The Bible says we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ, Romans 8:29, and the only way that can happen is by the daily cross. When's the last time you heard a good message on the daily cross? Jesus said, whoever is going to follow me must do about three things. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Again, he didn't say join a church, be a good church member, hang out with just a bunch of Christians and act like that's enough. No, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And when that is going on in the life of an individual disciple, and by the way, every individual true disciple, there be only a very few among those who claim to know the Lord, are denying themselves, taking up the cross, and following Christ. And the character of Christ, the Holy Ghost of God, is raising them up daily in his resurrection power, and producing the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence that the Holy Spirit is reigning and Jesus is reigning in that person's life. See, the character of Christ is produced in the life of every true disciple by the Holy Spirit. And we see the nine dimensions of that in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, gentleness, temperance, etc. Amen. But in opposition to that, we see men who have a mere form of godliness today in this last day where perilous times have come, and their God is their belly. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. Philippians 3, 17 and 18, you see. They're enemies of the cross of Christ, and therefore they don't have the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit working in their daily lives. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead will also quicken your mortal body. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Then he says, we are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. He's talking to Christians. But if ye through the Spirit, through the power of the Holy Ghost, see how that ties right in here? You remember, they denied the power of God. They had a form of godliness, 2 Timothy 3:5, but they're denying the power thereof. See, it's by the power of the Holy Ghost that the Lord raises up his true disciples, though they be few, and brings about the tangible fruit of a person who's genuinely saved, authentically born again, and ready to meet the Lord. Remember Zechariah 4:6. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen? Mm-hmm. For men shall be, in these perilous times, though they have a form of godliness, men shall be lovers of their own selves, full of self, covetous. You know, I ran into a guy not long ago, and he goes to a covetous church. It's a prosperity gospel church. It's a making merchandise of you church through covetousness and feigned words. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. And I begin to confront him about and confront the false teachings in that church. And all he could say was that it's working for him because he's being blessed financially, and that really is all that mattered to him. You see, covetousness. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6 that while some coveted after the riches of this world, they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. For they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare or a trap. See, they're covetous. They're coveting the things of this fleeting life. And it's a many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Is it possible to err from the faith? Of course. And pierce themselves through with many sorrows. See, covetousness is setting your affections on something other than God, making gold your God. Jesus said, no man can serve God and mammon. No man can serve two masters. Amen? So beware of covetousness. The scripture tells us in the Ten Commandments, the tenth one, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thy neighbor's house, etc., or anything that is thy neighbor's. Okay, the third thing they are is what? Boasters. They're boasters. They boast in self, self-accomplishments. They boast in something or someone other than the Lord. David said, I will make my boast in the Lord. Amen? Here's the fourth thing. They're proud. They're full of pride. Full of pride. Blasphemers. They take the name of the Lord their God in vain, which is what? The third commandment, right? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, what does that mean? Does that just mean using the GD term? No. Probably more than that, it means calling ourselves a Christian and not reflecting it by living unto the Lord. We're taking his name in vain. Think about that in the wording. We're taking his name, putting it on us, calling ourselves Christ, and we're doing it in vain because we're not really sincerely giving over to him.
Titus 1:16, which correlates with the verse 5 of 2 Timothy 3, it says, they profess they know God, but in works they deny him. As Todd explained now, in their works, their life, they've confessed Christ, they've confessed the Lord, but in their works, that they're being abominable, as it continues in verse 16, and disobedient and unto every good work reprobates.
Amen, brother. It's good. Okay, so what's boasters So we see that in the last days, that's the days we live in now, and it's going to get worse. Men are going to be, though they have, this is the people that have a form of godliness. This isn't the heathen. This isn't the rank heathen. They have a form of godliness. They're lovers of their own selves. I talked to a guy yesterday, very sincere guy, and he goes to a prosperity church here. I'm well familiar with it. And when you walk into that elaborate, lavish, $20 million building, the walls are lined with tens of thousands of dollars worth of decorations. The foyer is huge, and it's a monument to the pastor. How do you know that, brother? Well, because his pictures are all over the place in there. That's an antichrist spirit. He, as God, sitteth in the temple of God. Now, when you're going in the church there, and the earlier services coming out, nobody's smiling. Nobody's got joy. Excuse me. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. If you don't have joy in your life, something's wrong. Even if you're going through something hard, the joy of the Lord is your strength in that hard time. Amen? And that is the fruit of the evidence that you are truly abiding in Christ and ready to meet Him. I often have discussions with people that are deceived, and though many of them are sincerely deceived, into thinking that just because you've been saved, that you're automatically going to endure to the end, and that you can't lose your salvation. That is absolutely unbiblical. That's a ridiculous Calvinistic myth and lie. But Satan loves when people believe that. They're going to be the ones who fall away the quickest in the final days because they believed a lie. They believed a lie. They did not study to show themselves approved. They counted the tradition they learned more important than the Word of God, just like the Pharisees in Mark 7:6-9. Knowing full well, you set aside the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. No matter how many scriptures you throw at them that totally contradict the lie of once saved, always saved, they're still going to stick with that filthy, demonic lie. The first one that Satan told in the garden. And follow false prophets, whom the Bible says will turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. In Jude verse 4, we're to earnestly contend against these wolves. I don't care if they have a degree. I don't care if they smile. I don't care if they have a building in a local church and they're the warmest guy you ever met in their life. If they're teaching falsely, they're wolves, and we're to warn against them. And anybody teaching Calvinism in any form or fashion is a wolf. And I don't mind. In fact, I'd please invite you to go tell them I said it. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. What else? What's the next one? Disobedient to parents.
Unthankful, unholy.
Didn't the Bible say in the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother? Amen?
Amen.
Honor your father and mother. That doesn't mean you have to follow them to hell if they're in a false religion. But you can honor them. Doesn't mean you have to think just like them. You're an individual. Disobedient to parents. When's the last time we called our parents up and said, I just want you to know I love you? I'm not calling you for any other reason but to tell you I love you and to ask what you're doing.
Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth.
There's a promise. The first commandment would promise to be well and to live long on the earth. You know, sometimes we think that that verse and the honor of your father and mother is only dealing with us when we're little children. But no, as long as our parents are alive, we should honor them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so they're disobedient to parents. I mean, how many times do we read in the paper where somebody killed their parents? The unthinkable. They're given over to devils. And part of that, listen, let me just say this. This generation must be reached with the gospel. If you're listening to me and you name the name of Christ, you must be engaged in the Great Commission. You've got to get involved in getting the word into the hearts of other people so they can have a chance to repent and be saved. Satan has come in like a flood and deceived that which calls itself the church, which really isn't the church. But let me just shift gears here and say this. Jesus said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Pray that he'll send laborers and go yourself. That doesn't mean you even have to leave your building, your city, or anything. there are thousands upon thousands of people in your area, unless you live in a small area, but there are at least dozens and dozens of people out there that need to be saved. Okay? When you mail in a electric bill, put a track in it. When you're walking down the hall, be full of God, not yourself. Don't be a lover of your own self. Be a lover of the Lord, beloved. Be like David, who was a man after God's own heart. Carry some gospel tracts. Get some good ones and pass them out. Tell people Jesus loves them and died for their sins. That's all you want to tell them. Of course, I like to tell them that and or engage them in a conversation when it's appropriate and when they respond that way and they want to listen. And Anson and I went and revisited a guy that got saved about a month ago, man. Brett, huh?
Yes.
And wanted him to meet Anson. And what did he say when we talked to him about him getting saved?
We asked him if he'd been reading his Bible, and he said he'd been reading it several times throughout each week that since I gave it to him.
Actually, we said, well, isn't it good that you got saved? I don't even think we brought up the Bible. And he says, yeah, man, that Bible you gave me, I've been reading it at least twice a week. So the process has started. He's growing in grace, man, huh?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, Jesus said, I have chosen you, if you name the name of Christ, I want you to listen. John 15:16. I have chosen you, Jesus says, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Amen. God wants the fruit to remain. So we do everything we can prayerfully and in works and good works. We're His workmanship, created unto good works, right? And to teach all men all things He taught us, to get them in the Word. I know when the Lord saved me almost 27 years ago, brother and sister. It took a little while, man. I never was a big reader, you know. I was too active in sports and too on the run. And but I had to come to the realization through brothers and sisters helping me in the Holy Spirit that I needed to read the Bible every day. And so that process began, though it took a few months. You know, it doesn't mean if they're not reading the Bible every day and they just got saved, that doesn't mean they're not saved. But, you know, you need to work to help them to realize and to whet that appetite and give them Scripture. Nothing better than Scripture. I love Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire. Amen? It's a choice. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby.
I was going to say, like, yet even as newborn babes, and you desire the sincere milk of the word, even as babies coming in this world, they begin drinking milk. Well, according to Hebrews 5, there are people that are still in the church that are still drinking milk. That brothers and sisters, that's not ought to be at all. We are to be mature and be in the word, feeding ourselves on the word, eating the word daily, as we are called to not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4. And grow thereby, and let the fruit come to maturity as we seek the Lord, that He may be found every day that He gives us.
Amen. We need the nourishment of the Word of God every day, the divine power that comes from ingesting the Word of God, daily bread, and also the circumcising and the washing effect of the Word of God, cutting away the evil and the sinful tendencies, and etc. Amen. Washing away the correcting the false beliefs about God, etc. The Bible says we've been given the Bible, the very Word of God, for many reasons, including for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that the man of God may be thoroughly or completely, through and through, furnished unto every good work. Amen. I can remember in my early Christian walk, I was working in an engineering department, and this really just upright Christian brother, he was an engineer, he showed me about writing verses on index cards. Man, that changed my life. That was an absolutely invaluable little simple thing. And there's never a day goes by, if this might encourage somebody, it's the only reason why I'm saying it, that I don't leave the house with my back pocket. Might be different for the ladies. They got more room in the purse, though, so they don't have any excuse. But that little back pocket, I always have two things. I've got scriptures on index cards with references and gospel tracts. Amen? And I got my car loaded with them, so I'm never going to run out. Spanish and English. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord's good, man. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. All right, so the last days generation that claims to know the Lord, they're all about self. They're not about winning anybody to Christ. They're not about being a man or woman or a young man or young woman or whoever after God's own heart. Why? Because they're lovers of their own selves. They don't love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus said everything in the whole prophets rests and hinges right here, hangs on this. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first commandment with prophets. And love your neighbors yourself. Now, if you love your neighbors yourself, you put them before yourself, you prefer them above yourself, you die daily. You die momentarily. You die every hour. You're saying, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Bless me, Jesus, to be laid down and dead and buried today, to elevate others, to elevate you and others above myself. You've got to let the cross, if you name the name of Christ, we have got to let the cross have its work in us. Amen. The killing power of the cross and the raising up of the Holy Ghost. I want to encourage you to get this in your spirit. Get this message in your spirit. You're not going to find it at 99.9999% of the local churches that meet in physical buildings. It's very rare. But it's the Bible. It's Scripture. It's the heart of the gospel for the individual disciple. It's what Christ taught. And God forbid that we ourselves be enemies of the cross of Christ by neglecting and refusing to deny ourselves, take up a cross, and follow Christ. That's why we put together the books that are chocked full of Scripture, the Scripture rich on this subject, called Raised Up and I Die Daily. Those are available in print and by ebook. Amen. Okay, so in the last days, these difficult or perilous times are going to come. Because men, why? Because men are going to be lovers of their own selves instead of God and others. Amen. It should be God first. Your passion should be God. You should be coveting more of Him. He must increase. I must decrease. Like the Greeks, John 12:21, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. Please let us see Jesus. They cried out, not a lover of yourself, a lover of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whose air you now breathe, the one who is your maker and your judge, whom you will soon stand before to give account of every thought and intention and deed and act in this life. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. They don't boast in the Lord. They boast in how good they are because they did this and earned that and achieved this and whatever. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Wow. We could go off for a while on that one. The Bible says that we're to give thanks for all things and in all things. Ephesians 5:20, etc. The fruit of our lips is going to get is to be giving praise to His name. Hebrews 13, verse 15.
First Thessalonians 5:18 is what you said?
Oh, go ahead.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Read that one more time.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Amen. And while we're at it, Ephesians 5, verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So, God forbid that we be unthankful. We should always, no matter what we're dealing with at any certain day or hour, always be ready to give a joyful answer of great gratitude to the Lord for all that He has given us. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hallelujah. We're so richly blessed, and we have an eternal future of unspeakable joy and bliss, amen, with our Lord in the New Jerusalem. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Not love theirself, but love Him. These people that have a mere form of godliness that we're reading about in and concerning these perilous times in which we now live are lovers of self. They do not love the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says that this great blissful eternity is reserved for them that love Him, not love their self. Those who love their self have a place reserved for them in the lake of fire. That's where they're going. Okay? So, unthankful. That's another characteristic of the rebellious hearts of men who want Christ in as much as they want to be saved from hell, but they don't want to get to know Him. They don't want to obey Him. They don't want to seek His face. They just want Him in respect to saving them from eternal damnation. Which, Jesus, Paul wrote that, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." You can't fool God. If we don't love Him, doesn't matter what we do outwardly, or what kind of form, like a cloak of godliness we have, a mere cloak or form, we can't fool God. We either love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we're either choosing to love Him in lieu of self, or we're not. Jesus is going to say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Too many who claim to know Him. And they're going to say, "Lord, I did this and I did that good work." They didn't even say, "Hey, I went and helped somebody clean their car or build their house." No, they said they did spiritual things. They had a form of godliness. They cast out devils and prophesied, stuff like that, did many wonderful works. But if you even give your body to be burned and you don't have the love of God and for God in you, then it's all in vain. It is absolutely of no value to God. It's an abomination to Him. Also, they're going to be unholy. The next characteristic, unholy. The Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy."
Hebrews 12:14 says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord."
Amen. 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 3. Without natural affection. They don't have even familial love. I mean, I've been amazed at some people, but it seems like people, there's a lack of love around the world these days. Without natural affection. Amen. We should tell our children how much we love them every day. My dad kissed us every day when we left the house and when we came back. He hugged and kissed us. Laid his hands on us and hugged us and loved us up. Man, I don't know how you don't do that with your kids. Of course, most people do, I guess, but man, they're just edible. Amen. Okay, truce breakers. Truce breakers. Okay, verse 3. Truce breakers. Okay, they don't keep their word. False accusers. Man, Jesus said that we're to rejoice when, because of His sake, for His sake, men say all manner against you falsely. Falsely. They make up things about you. That is going to happen to everyone who follows Christ. You're going to be slandered. You're going to be slandered. In fact, J.C. Ryle said this concerning slander. He says, "Let it never surprise true Christians if they are slandered and misrepresented in this world. They must not expect to fare better than their Lord." Amen. J.C. Ryle. They must never expect, or must not expect, to fare better than their Lord. Jesus said, "If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you."
Jesus describing the end days in Matthew 24, beginning in verse 8, the beginning of sorrows, in verse 9, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." This kind of, these verses kind of describe what these descriptions of these people, these men of perilous times, is going to characterize them.
Amen, brother. And wow, there's a lot on slander. We've got a lot of stuff on dealing with slander and the reality of it on Safeguard Your Soul. Also, 1 Peter 4 is a lot about suffering. It says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." That fiery trial is only confirmation that the glory of God is upon your life. 1 Peter 4:12-14. Amen. And when you become slandered, I know for me, it really has been a real blessing in the big picture. It's the most hurtful thing that's ever happened to me. But it's been a very, very big blessing, because the Lord has used it to cause me not to even be concerned about what men think and what they say. The circumcising work of the cross has been much increased and a blessing in my life through it. The Bible says in Psalm 17:2, quote, "My sentence Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. God is the only judge, folks. And how he sees me is all that matters. You see, some of the people listening to me right now have been slandered. And you've been falsely accused. And you've been hurt. Some of you people have brought up something you've done in the past, repented of, and don't do it anymore. You're living unto the Lord. And God knows that. God is your judge. And as far as the east is from the west, he, so far has he removed your sins from you. Amen?
Acts 9:31, as Todd's been talking about, basically being slandered in the fear of the Lord, that we walk in daily. The churches that, as it speaks of in Acts 9, verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Oh,
that is so good. Wow. You know, it's talking about the rest they had after Saul got saved. That guy was wreaking havoc, it says. And right before this, earlier in the chapters, where Saul or Paul gets saved, Jesus knocked him off his high horse, if you will. Before that, he was dragging Christians to, hailing them to prison to be killed, or to jail to be maimed and hurt and killed. And when he got saved, they had rest. And they walked in the, notice this, the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. See, they go together. If you want comfort from God, you got to have the fear of the Lord. We've got to cry out for the fear of the Lord. David prayed, Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name. I pray that for myself and my friends every day and my son, that the Lord would unite our hearts to fear his holy name. Because the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord will cause you to depart from these sins and these characteristics of false professors, those who profess but don't possess, or are not possessed by the Lord in these last days, these perilous times that we're reading about in these first few verses in 2 Timothy. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. I believe that's Proverbs 14:26-27. The Bible says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And that's Psalm 2:11. Also, Ecclesiastes 12, like verse 13, says that the commandment of God is to what? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. To fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You know, friend, if you don't hear anything else in the Word during this little time together in the Word, dwelling richly or abundantly in the Word, please hear this. Go through a study of the fear of the Lord. And learn to fear God. Be taught by God the fear of the Lord. By the way, let me stop here and say this. Anybody that's leading, that's not calling you to fear the Lord according to Scripture, and talking about the fear of the Lord, is in grave danger of being a false prophet if he isn't already. That's all over the Bible. Jesus taught it. He said you're to fear him, which after he has killed you, is able to cast your soul and body into hell. Luke chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. Okay, so false accusers, wow. Incontinent, what does that mean? They're out of control. They have no temperance. They don't control themselves. Fierce, they're ruthless. Despisers of those that are good. They mock those that do good. These are people that are claiming to know the Lord. They have a form of godliness. Traitors, wow. Traitors. Traitors, okay. That's a big one right there. A lot of people, as Anson read earlier in the last days chapter of Matthew 24, where Jesus said, the love of many is going to wax cold because iniquity is going to abound, okay? And a lot of folks are going to be trading. They're going to be departing from relationships without scriptural grounds. There are scriptural grounds for departing from relationships. But some folks are departing from relationships with no scriptural grounds. And in some cases, they don't even give the person any reason. Now, the word traitors, it comes from the Greek word pradidomai, in the sense of giving forward into another's, the enemy's hands, a surrender, a betrayer, a traitor. Okay, so a traitor is somebody who betrays. As we read in the Gospels concerning the last days, Matthew 24, as Anton read earlier, Luke 21 talks about people betraying one another. Okay, let me read 21:16 of Luke. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. I love with Rahab the harlot actually appears in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. Why? Because instead of betraying the spies at the risk of her own life, and obviously faith in God, because that chapter heralds those that were godly champions of the faith, Hebrews 11. Rahab hid the spies and lied to the evil minions who came to get him to kill him. And that landed her in the list of heroes of the faith. Amen? Instead of betraying them and betraying the Lord by betraying his people, she hid them from the evil workers. Jesus says, "Inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me." That's the difference between the sheep and the goats, those that go to heaven and those that go to hell. Also, he said, "Inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it not unto me." The way we treat other people, namely the body of Christ, is exactly the way we're treating Jesus. If I tell you I love Jesus and I'm saved and I am mistreating the body of Christ and not being a blessing to the body of Christ, you are looking at a full-blown hypocrite who is not saved, might have been saved in the past, but not now. See, somebody asked this week, how do you know when somebody's a Christian? Two things come to mind for me that are ironclad, absolute evidence that you're a Christian. Number one, you love the Word of God. Jesus says, "He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not," he told the religionist who had a mere form of godliness. "You're not of God because you hear not the Word of God." John 8:47, and also 1 John 3:14. We know that we pass from death, spiritual death, unto life because we love the brethren. Amen?
As Todd mentioned earlier about the commandments that Jesus mentioned in the Gospels that hang all the law and the prophets, to love the Lord God with all your soul, mind, strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, or the first two great commandments. But Jesus even testifies of that this is the law and the prophets, that the things that you wish men do unto you, do unto them as well.
Amen. That's the what some call the golden rule.
Yes.
Inasmuch as you would that men should do something unto you, do it unto them. Show kindness.
And that's just the epitome of Jesus commanding us to deny ourselves and putting others first, and even as Philippians says, esteeming others higher than ourselves.
Amen. In fact, there are those of you that are listening, and you are a absolute precious saints who tend to the Lord and to his body. And I want you to be encouraged with Hebrews 6:10, which says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor in love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Amen. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Traitors, verse 4, traitors, people trading and betraying other folks that they were supposedly a friend to. Wow. We've never seen a day when there's a greater need for true friends, according to the biblical definition. A friend loves at all times, amen? All times, whether you're doing good or bad, whether you've fallen or you're in your most anointed or blessed state spiritually or financially, whatever. Amen. Okay. So, traitors or betrayers. Heady. Just wanting to please self. High-minded. Intoxicated with self-love. Self-inflated. Self-conceit. High-minded. Lifted up with pride. Lovers, notice this, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I think the two other things that stand out so strongly here is the first thing he says, when he says perilous times shall come, and basically the last characteristic. The first and the last. Let me read them. Verse 2 to verse 4. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Then he says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They'd rather play games and just entertain themselves. They've got time, resources, energy, money to make themselves a little bit more comfortable in this already too comfortable lifestyle that we have in America. They spend their energy and resources and things on loving self more, loving pleasures. They just look for the next thrill more than loving God and expending all of their heart energy and physical energy and loving the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving their neighbor with those resources. Having, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such withdraw thyself. From such withdraw thyself. So we are to depart from those who claim to know the Lord, they have a form of godliness, and yet they display the characteristics of evil men as is detailed in this passage. And that's why all true Christians either have or will come out of any seeker-friendly church. Because all seeker-friendly, seeker-sensitive, emergent church, local churches, if you will, all they're there for is to entertain goats, not to feed sheep. It is absolutely amazing how many people are good church members and don't know the Word of God. They do not know the Word of God. Let's finish in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And let's talk about where the Lord would have us to be. What's that say? Colossians 3, 1.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things of above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Amen. The promise of appearing with the Lord in glory, because he's coming back for those that are looking for him, Hebrews 9:28, is reserved for those who are seeking the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. They're caught up with the Lord. All things are of God in their lives. They seek for a city that is to come. Here they have no continuing city. Amen?
Amen.
But they seek one to
yes.
come. Amen. They love him even though they haven't seen him, and they rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, through many trials, and looking for the end of their faith, 1 Peter 1, 7 through 9.
That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls.
The end of your faith. Amen. You got to endure the end to be saved. If you don't die in faith, you go into hell. You have an evil heart of unbelief. Whatever we have to do, you got to be in faith toward the Lord. That's Hebrews 3, 12 through 14. Okay, so those that are going to appear with him in glory are setting their affection on things above, not on the things of the earth, and they're considering themselves dead, right? Verse 3, what's it say? For you are what?
For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Amen. That's the daily cross, isn't it?
Amen.
You're dead, you see? And you're going to appear with him in glory, but not if you're not dead to yourself.
Because if you're not dead to yourself, what does Jesus say? If you try to save your life, you will lose it.
Yes.
But if you lose your life for my sake or the gospel's, you shall save it.
Amen.
You shall find it.
Shall find it, yeah. Amen. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground
and
die, it abides alone.
Oh, no.
But if it does die, it goes into the ground, it'll bring forth fruit. The remnant of God are those defined in Isaiah 37:31, who are taking root downward and bearing fruit upward. This is the gospel, folks. We must participate with the Lord in his death, burial, and resurrection. Romans chapter 6 says, verse 3 and 4, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, not in water, but into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That's you and I, we're dead and our lives are hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. It goes on and on. Romans 6 is an extremely important chapter. The truth therein to grasp and to get into your spirit and consider yourself dead. God is not going to raise me up if I'm alive under my own power. He requires that we lay down our lives every day. We die to self. You're dead and your life is hidden with Christ and God. It's really a place of rest, because when you're dead, God is raising you up. When you're dead with Christ, you're identified with the death of Christ in the burial. God is raising you up in his power and his provision. Amen? Praise the Lord. So may God bless each of us to break up our fallow ground, to sow not among thorns, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness upon us, so that we will appear with him in glory, having our affection set only upon the Lord Jesus Christ, not on any man or anyone else, not ourselves, not lovers of our own selves, but lovers of the Lord, people that have hearts after the Lord, like David, the man after God's heart. Amen. God bless you.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.